Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. I really appreciate it. Those watching on all the different platforms, thank you so much for sharing this information and caring about what's going on. As always, I'll encourage you to go to agendaweekly.com and become a subscriber where you can get all the rest of the information we provide each week. But thank you so much for being there. I've got an interview for you today. I recorded it a couple days ago with Jim Simpson. He just wrote a new book called Who Was Karl Marx? And we're going to talk about that. But first, a few news things before we get to the interview with Jim Simpson. You probably saw House Democrats block bipartisan bill declassifying COVID-19 origins. Think about that. They're like, no, you can't find out where this came from. Well, I've noticed in life when someone is running and hiding, even if you didn't think so originally, you know they are guilty. You know, because you don't do that. You don't, we got to cover that up unless there's something to cover up. So again, most of the time their actions expose their intent and what they're really doing. Here's a key thing. I got an email from one of you, one of our subscribers, Terry. He has been in a first responder for 40 years. Okay. So he's been in that world. And he said, I want you to see the course description of a new course we're required to take. I'm going to read you just a little bit of this, and I have it linked below so you can look at it yourself. I mean, this, he said, I don't know what's going on, but look at this. The title of the course is Isolation and Quarantine for Rural Communities. This 8-hour instructor-led course is designed to provide the knowledge necessary to begin planning for situations requiring the isolation and quarantine of a large portion of a local rural community. And then it goes on to talk about how they're going to do this. I mean, what excuse are they going to have? What is going to be going on where they need to isolate and then quarantine rural communities where, of course, COVID doesn't spread out there because we're not around a lot of people. We're outdoors a lot. Anyway, he was shocked by that, being 40 years a first responder. That's scary when you get people being trained, like our military is being trained, to hate America, hate white people. And when you see this, like, how are they going to isolate us and quarantine us? Anyway, that was shocking. Also, as I talked about a little bit last week, but in Michigan, you know, the kidnapping plot that we talked about with Governor Whitmer that was planned by the FBI, we now know the exact totals. 12 out of the 18 plotters to kidnap the governor and do all this evil stuff, 12 of the 18 were FBI agents. 12. It was organized by them and everything, and it was clearly to have that go south, to get people to turn on conservatives, to turn on Trump. Oh, they've kidnapped a governor. Who knows, they might have killed her at the expense of this and act like we did it. But I just want you to know it's a key blueprint to see. That's all they did on January 6th. It didn't work there because it got exposed. And so then they go, okay, we've got to do it again. And that's exactly what they did on January 6th. The guy, the FBI agent that was in charge of that Michigan plot, right after it got promoted to be the head of the Washington, D.C. branch of the FBI. So it's so rotten, it makes you sick to your stomach. An interesting thing, my in-laws were talking to their doctor, and he was showing them blood samples from people who had not been vaccinated, their own blood, and then people that had been vaccinated. And I saw another article talking about this too, but in people that have been vaccinated, and they look through a bunch of different blood samples, there's all these microscopic blood clots in their blood, just millions of them, just everywhere in their blood. And they looked at a bunch of different samples, and this doctor is talking about the same thing here, where it's causing little clotting, teeny little clots all through the bloodstream in these people that have been vaccinated. And 62% of all the blood samples they've gone through where the person's been vaccinated showed that this has already started in their system, this microscopic clotting. And so anyway, just more information on that. A couple other key things, and then we'll get to the interview with Jim Simpson. I was just in San Francisco recently, and you see there is so many big cities across the country. They're closing down store after store because laws are not being upheld. People can come shoplift, and then they're not even, charges are not pressed against them. I probably hadn't been there in 10 years, and to just see how dirty, and I mean, it's the most beautiful city in America, and it was so filthy and just tents everywhere, and homeless people and drug addicts just like crazily walking down the street. You can see they're not there. They're probably, most of them are demon possessed. It was just weird. And right outside of $10 million homes overlooking the bay and everything. And so, but I wanted to bring this up. Closing stores, big or small, is a key element in this agenda that they're doing, the Marxists in their revolution. And of course, also not enforcing law and order. You start to have a breakdown of everything. But what happens when the stores close is then resources are removed from those communities. So there's not things, you can't buy things there. But of course, also the jobs leave. So of course, it guarantees it's going to make the problem worse, which they're always working toward, making sure whatever they're doing is making the problems we have in our country grow worse and worse. And it's going to, because some of the things I thought about here, that's going to help fulfill with the World Economic Forum's goals for 2030. As that happens, when there's no jobs available, it demands that there's a universal basic income, which is one of their key goals. That's why Biden keeps sending the checks out. I think they're going to keep extending that. They want us to get dependent on a check every month from the government. And so then all of a sudden they've got it. And they, we need to do this because people are going to starve to death if we don't. So that's a key goal they wanted. But when you eliminate jobs, then it's necessary. And then the next thing, it demands digital currency. Why is that? Because when you're literally giving everyone a check every month, every homeless man, every person throughout the country, there's no way to get a check to them. We saw that with the COVID relief bills back when Trump was president. He was wanting them sent out this week. You'll have them this week. And they said it'll take us at least 6 months to send checks to everybody because they're so inept. Bureaucracy, that doesn't work. And so they would have to have a digital currency so they can just give you that stuff where you have your little card and they just refill it each month for you to use. It also demands that they crack down in a very authoritarian way. Because when you start to have everyone's hanging out doing nothing, there's no jobs, there's not even things for them to buy where they are because the stores have closed, you're going to have so much chaos, you have to then crack down with the military or something to gain control. And so, but it's all, again, it's all about that basic income, digital currencies, the banks and their great reset. They realize if you can get digital currency, you have total control of every person because all you have to do is delete their account if they're not going along to get along. So we need to use one of the solutions to that. We need to use cash as much as possible. And any business that stops taking cash as a payment, we need to stop going there and let them know, hey, we use cash when we buy things. If you don't take cash, we're not shopping here anymore. That's one way of standing up. Okay, last thing before we get to who was Karl Marx. This is important. I need to explain this is a key thing. This is how we keep getting stung by our own side or people we think are on our side, and it's deadly. Ken Starr. I don't know what comes to your mind when you first hear that name. You might think, oh, that was the guy that helped convict Bill Clinton of his scandal with Monica Lewinsky. And you might think of different things. He's been the president of Baylor University, a Baptist college in Texas the last many, many years. And so a lot of people know him and probably have a positive view of him. But I want to tell you this. Things have come out just recently. We now know he is the person that went and pressured federal prosecutors to drop all sex trafficking charges against Jeffrey Epstein. A lot of his stuff has come out, and that scene in there. So, and he did that. So then Epstein for 10 more years was able to molest children. That's Ken Starr. Okay, you wonder, why was he doing that? Well, there's a reason. You're doing a favor for a convicted pedophile. And that's just sick. But it's also just come out in a book recently. A lady said, while Ken Starr was going against Bill Clinton for having an affair, she was having an affair with him. So this man that's supposed to be on our side, standing for morality, he's having an affair with someone while he's condemning someone that had an affair and supposedly on our side. And he's the one that, you know, stands up and protects Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, it's all a lie is what I want you to know. Do you see that? So many people on our side, it's a total lie. They are not who they say they are. They just know there has to be two sides. So X percentage of them pick, oh, I'll be a Republican. And X pick, oh, I'll be a Democrat. And there's no difference between the George Bush seniors and the Bill Clintons and the Obamas and the Hillarys and George W. Bush. There's zero difference. They just have to use different tactics to get what they want. And so it's just a key thing, because it just made me sick when I saw all this stuff. And the reason why now we know that Ken Starr went after Clinton, it's not because he's the enemy of Clinton. He's a good personal friend of Bill Clinton. And he knew, I'm going to sidetrack people with this little affair thing, which doesn't really matter. And it didn't remove him from office or anything. So because he was the one that was supposed to prosecute the Whitewater scandal. And if you don't know about that, maybe sometime we'll do a whole episode on that. The criminal activity of the Clinton family in Arkansas, the murder of Vince Foster, and all these things that have come out in other documentaries over the years, but he was the one supposed to be investigating that. Instead, he flipped it to this thing that just gets a lot of news coverage. Oh, Monica Lewinsky, this and that. And that was to protect them. It wasn't to you know, have justice served. So anyway, I just saw some of that and I thought, wait a minute, that we need to wake up. That's what's happening right now. One of our greatest enemies is Fox News. Because people like Sean Hannity and Dan Bongino and Brett Baer, all that, they're evil because they're waving the flag, acting like they're on our side, but then they don't cover the serious issues that need to be covered. Anyone that is not totally focused on the Arizona election audit is against us. It'll be a great barometer for us to know who's on our side and who's not. Tucker Carlson is the only person on all regular TV that's any good at all. He's the only one that will address the issues and will call people out. The Republicans in Georgia, who were the ones that corrupted the election there? They were. Who were the ones that didn't allow an audit to be done that would have put Trump back in office? They were. So again, we have to realize our own worst enemy is ourselves. The Liz Cheney's, which are about half of all Republicans in Congress. Some of them are just smart enough to still act like they're for Trump because they know they'll get booted out of their districts if they don't. But the reality is the last 50 years is 85 to 90% of every Republican in there was exactly the same as any Democrat in there, but they had to pretend like they weren't. The Mitch McConnells and all them, his wife tied into communist China, getting money from communist China and stuff. They're all rotten to the core. They just go along sometimes with things that are good, so they can always point to those when you say, well, I don't know if you're really conservative. And they'll go, oh, remember that thing I did 10 years ago? Oh, yeah, I guess you are. They're not dummies. They know they have to sometimes do things that sound good, or we would see something's wrong here. But I'm telling you, something's wrong. And anyone not focused right now on the most important thing going on in our country, the Arizona audits, and they've already found 70,000 mail-in ballots that were counted that never were sent out. There's 70,000 more mail-in ballots that came in than the state sent out. And they're on a different paper and everything else. There's that one area. Trump only lost by 10,000 votes. So overwhelming corruption. And we've got the links below to start joining in with this movement. It's called 3 November. And it's to demand an audit of all 50 states so we can really see how much corruption there was. There'll be so many congressional seats and Senate seats that will have to be changed because it's there. And this Arizona one is the focus. But Brett Baer and others, you know, no, there's nothing to see there. Same, the exact same thing MSNBC and CNN and all the radical liberal stations are saying. These people are our enemy. Stop watching their shows. Tell your friends to stop watching their shows because it's deadly. So the good news is they're finding the corruption. I mean, it's going to be overwhelming. I don't know how it's going to be covered up or ignored or what they're going to try to do with this, but that's why we need to join the movement to start building momentum where we can start putting pressure that when they can prove here's 200,000 fraudulent votes just in Maricopa County in Arizona, which they're going to be able to, that people start, wait a minute, and the momentum starts building in the opposite direction, and all these media outlets and elected officials that were involved in the corruption are brought to justice. That's what we need to pray about. I know it's a long shot, but the truth is very powerful. If we demand that it come out, I think God could bless our efforts and do something great. But I'm encouraged by a lot of what's going on and the energy on our side of people wanting to get involved. And we need to get involved and be praying and be doing the things we can do. But now I'm going to flip to the interview I did with Jim Simpson. I'm not going to be able to play all of it, but key parts of it. But the bottom line of it is it's just giving you a brief overview of this book. And I encourage you to go to Amazon. I think that's where he's selling it right now, the only place he has it available, and get Who Was Karl Marx? It helps him in what he's doing. He's a great researcher, a great writer. He's an investigative journalist, businessman. He was in both agenda movies and added such power to those of just clarity of thought and understanding of what's happening in our country. And he writes for all the top conservative news outlets and things. He's done a lot of things. But here's some clips from that interview, and thank you so much again for being a part of what we do. I really appreciate you greatly.
Their entire purpose was to detach our culture from any moral anchors whatsoever. Once people figure it out, they're going to do what people everywhere do. They're going to start protesting and they're going to start revolting. And when that happens, that's when the powers that be feel threatened and they use the power that they have.
And now I'd like to go to Jim Simpson, and this is going to be a great conversation. Hello, Jim. How are you doing?
Curtis, hey, great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. I appreciate you and all that you've done and do to spread the truth and stand up for our country. I really appreciate it.
Likewise.
Well, I saw that you had a new book, Who Was Karl Marx? And so I have not read it yet. It just came in the mail. I got two copies, as I always do, of good books, so I can read one, underline it, have that information available, and then share one with someone else. So things that are powerful can keep going, and we'll encourage you to do that at the end. But Jim, just start off by telling us, you know, why did you write this book about a guy that died 130 years ago? Why did you write the book?
As you showed earlier, the title is Who Was Karl Marx? The subtitle is The Men, the Motives, and the Menace Behind Today's Rampaging American Left. And I wrote this book because I felt that we were at a critical time in our history, and people need to understand how we got here, what motivates the people out there rioting today, what motivates the Biden administration and the radical left, Congress, the media, all these people who are all on the same page with the same agenda. what got us to this point? How could they want the best, freest, most prosperous, most generous, most open society the world's ever created, because it was my belief inspired by God, what on earth would make them want to destroy it? But that is the goal. Make no mistake about it. That is the goal. So I wanted to explain to people exactly how that thinking got mainlined into our society, where it came from, the original thinkers, what they were like, what their personalities were like, what their true motives were, because most of that is obscure to the world, and it's been obscure to the world. I've been studying it for 30 years, and this short 150-page book reflects a summarization of my understanding of where we are, where we've been, how we got here, and the communists that are attempting right now, as we watch, to overthrow our country and turn it into the nightmare society that they always do every time they take power.
That's right. No, and as I mentioned in the intro, Karl Marx was voted the most influential person of the last 1,000 years by the BBC. So when we see that type of thing, we realize, wait a minute, this is incredible. And when we look back at Sun Tzu, he said, if you want to beat your enemy, you have to know your enemy. So that's what we're talking about today, Karl Marx, because he is the man behind the philosophies that right now, today, in 2021, are taking America down. And summarize for me, who was Karl Marx? What did you find out from studying this?
Pretty much everything the left says is 180 degrees from the truth. Pretty much if you listen to the news today, listen to Joe Biden, listen to Nancy Pelosi, listen to what any or all of them say, and then just flip it on its head and you know what the truth is. And so who was Karl Marx? You know, he claimed to hate the bourgeoisie. He hated the capitalist class. Yet he himself was the spoiled rich brat of a wealthy German attorney. And for example, when he went off to college, his father sent him an allowance that was equivalent to the average earnings of 95% of the German population at that time. So he was getting a very high allowance just to go off to school. But it wasn't enough for him. And he spent his entire, he ran through that allowance and his inheritance in no time flat. There's a supposition that the reason he may have gotten such a big resentment against capitalism was because he played the stock market and frequently lost. And he was, you know, he said, workers of the world, unite. You have nothing to lose but your chains. Imposing Marxism, or I prefer to call it communism, he didn't free anybody from chains. He put entire nations in chains, turned entire nations into slave states. And that's really what he and his followers were all about. He spent his life living off crumbs that his partner in crime, Friedrich Engels, co-author of the Communist Manifesto, sent him, And Engels was also child of a rich British industrialist. He was lazy. He liked to drink a lot. He liked to party a lot. And he pilfered money from the petty cash account in his father's business and sent that to Marx to keep Marx going. And then Marx spent all of his other time hovering over dying relatives, waiting to see how much he would get in their inheritance. And in the letters that he sends to Engels, he just expresses openly how absolutely selfish and greedy he is. It's just amazing. He says, for example, in a letter to Engels, he says, "Yesterday, we were informed of a very happy event, the death of my wife's uncle, aged 90. As a result, my mother-in-law will save an annual impost of 200 thalers, which was the German currency at the time, and my wife will get almost 100 pounds more if the old dog hasn't made over to his housekeeper such of his money as is entailed." And, you know, when his mother died, he sent another letter to Engels talking about, complaining, basically, that he only got 1,100 thalers and that he didn't have any idea how much was actually in the will because it was locked in a closet that only their attorney could get to. And it's just astonishing.
Wow.
And what his, and just to give you an idea of the kind of person he was, and you cannot separate him from the actions of his children. Two of his daughters committed suicide. A son-in-law committed suicide. Three of his children died of malnutrition. And while his wife was scrounging around trying to raise enough money to buy a coffin for one of their young children who died of malnutrition, he employed a libidinous, useless secretary because he claimed that a man of his stature had to keep up appearances. This was the kind of person he was. He was in favor of slavery. He called blacks the N-words. He called the proletariat that he was supposedly trying to liberate stupid boys, rogues, asses. Russians just had to die in the revolutionary storm. He hated everybody, and even his friends would reflect on this. One of his contemporaries, Giuseppe Mazzini, said he was a destructive spirit whose heart was filled with hatred rather than love of mankind. Despite the communist egalitarianism which he preaches, he's the absolute ruler of his party, and he tolerates no opposition. And Mikhail Bakunin, who was the, probably the most prominent anarchist of the day, said one has to worship Marx in order to be loved by him. One has to at least fear him in order to be tolerated by him. Marx is extremely proud, up to dirt and madness. This is what his friends said about him. And the picture emerges as one of a greedy, selfish, whining, megalomaniacal, I mean pathologically arrogant egotist, the grown-up version of a severely spoiled brat.
Yeah.
And that's what he was. And then you find out, when you look closer, Mao Zedong was the same way. You know, the common myth about Mao, and all of the communists tried to hype this background, the common myth was that Mao was a peasant. Well, it's technically true. He came from a peasant farming community, but his father was the wealthiest man in the town. And his father tried to employ his selfish, lazy son who got thrown out of four schools, and his father threatened to cut off his allowance. And when Mao realized that may mean he actually has to go out and work, he married a woman 4 years older than him. And so his father said, okay, well, that's good. And the money started flowing again. But then a year later, his wife died and Mao could care less. When Mao only got really excited when the Soviets came around recruiting college kids to carry forward the communist revolution in China. And when he went on the legendary Long March, where the communists, Mao's communists, had to avoid the nationalist Chinese who were pursuing them by walking 5,600 miles, he was carried the entire time by porters, kept safely away from any danger, and while he read, quote, at his pleasure.
What's amazing, it's just crazy listening to all that.
Yep.
People, just think about that. It's exactly what's going on today with the Democrats. Yep. They talk like they're for the people, like Marx did and everyone, because you have to, otherwise you're going to have no one behind you. But it's not to help the people, it's to use the people to their advantage. I mean, look at the Democrats in Congress and in the Senate. I mean, just think, their lives are just as lavish, just every luxury, every extravagance. Yep. And they talk like, oh, we're for the poor black people in our community, whatever. They're not doing anything for them. And all the policies they implement. So it's funny. Communism attracts a lazy, selfish,
arrogant,
just person. That's the one type it attracts. And then, as you talked about in agenda, it also attracts this ruthless, evil thug, this serial killer type mentality. Why? Yes. Because communism is the system that rewards whoever is the most ruthless. That is who will rise to the top, because there is no morality, there is no standards. So that's why you look at the 20th century and every communist dictator, you go, is just a thug, is a mass murdering thug. Why? Because that system rewards that with putting you on top of it. And that's what will happen again if we go that direction. We will have people in charge where they will do whatever they want to do to keep that power and control over the people. So things haven't changed. Well, what now bringing it more into today, knowing that's what Karl Marx was like, some of the key people, some of the key groups that are Marxist in their philosophy, they're working toward communism. Talk about how his influence has affected them and what's going on today.
And the one we talk about now, the one that gets getting all the headlines now, of course, is critical race theory. Well, we have to go back to Marx to find out where that actually came from. Because before he even wrote the Communist Manifesto, Marx said, the issues of the day are not our concern. Now, wait a minute. They wrote the Communist Manifesto, which was supposed to be the document that would liberate the workers of the world, right? He said, the issues of the day are not our concern. Our concern is a ruthless criticism of everything existing. And what he meant was a ruthless criticism of everything existing in Western civilization and culture and capitalism. That's what he talked about. And so in the 1930s, a group was founded in Germany, in Frankfurt, and it was called the School of Social Research. And they were all communists, and they were all dedicated to basically, this school was created for no other reason than to explore ways of infiltrating and destroying our culture. Willie Munzenberg, who was one of Vladimir Lenin's inner circle communists, nobody knows about him, but he was actually very famous in his day. He influenced many of the Hollywood communists like Ernest Hemingway, and he had a huge number of newspaper outlets and theater companies that would promote the Soviet line covertly. And he said at a Communist International meeting in 1919, "We must organize the intellectuals and use them to make Western civilization stink, because only then, when we have corrupted all its values and made life impossible, can we impose communism." And so his ideas and those of another communist, a Hungarian man named Georgi Lukács, who came up with the idea of cultural terrorism. And cultural terrorism, by his definition, was explicit sex education to young children and a nationwide campaign in Hungary urging women to leave their husbands and go out and sow their wild oats. And of course, that didn't go over well in 1919 in very Catholic Germany, Hungary. And so his communists were thrown out of office. But his ideas caught fire with a young German Marxist who was yet another wealthy, spoiled brat, rich son of a wealthy German industrialist. And he thought, wow, all these people, even back then, Marxism is cool. Hermann Weyl funded the creation of the School for Social Research in Frankfurt, Germany. All of the professors were communists because its one goal was to deconstruct Western civilization. Following Marx's admonition to criticize everything existing. So they created what they called critical theory, which was its faux philosophy that criticized everything about Western culture existing. Now, unfortunately for them, and unfortunately for us, they had to flee Nazi Germany when Hitler took power. They were all communists. Most of them were Jewish. And even though, interestingly, they were all very anti-Semitic Jews, that's one very interesting aspect of communists that are Jewish, is that they are almost universally anti-Semitic. And that's because Marx was anti-God. And as followers of Marx, they are all anti-God. And I actually argue in the book they're Satanist. They're satanic. But anyway, so critical theory criticized everything existing in Western culture. And it created racism offenses, continual change to create confusion. Doesn't that sound familiar? Teaching of sex and homosexuality to children, undermining of school and teacher authority, huge immigration to destroy identity. I've written about that in two books. The promotion of excessive drinking and drug use, which was an agenda actually that was promoted by Soviet Union and its satellites, the drug war against us. Promotion of emptying of churches, an unreliable legal system with bias against victims of crime. This is what you see the ACLU doing. The ACLU will jump in to defend the absolute most heinous criminal and just dismisses the concerns, the angst, or the agony of the victims. It's because the ACLU is at its heart a communist organization, but like most communist organizations, it hides that agenda by hiring many people who aren't communists and don't even know what the real agenda is. They think that they are supporting civil liberties. But as Roger Baldwin, the founder of the ACLU, stated, communism is our goal. People are mistaken when they think that we're about civil liberties. We aren't. We've always been about communism.
It's interesting, too. It's interesting, too, on that, something I've thought about as you're talking about that. That's why the communist is always putting forward a utopia, because a utopia is not attainable. And so you'll always have problems, always have more things that you need to have fixed. So it always gives them a cause, because you're not going to create a utopia on Earth. But they promise that to you, and they say anything short of that is no good, it's rotten, and we need to destroy it and then create the utopia. So that's why they're always about destruction, and that's why they always will have a tool to use, because we're not going to ever have a utopia, because we are not perfect people. We are sinful people. So that's, yeah, to me, every time I hear that, that's what they lie to people to say, don't you want this utopia? And everyone looks at it, yeah, I want that, but it's not attainable. And so it will always give them a tool. Anyway, that's a key thing we have to remember. That's why they're always bashing everything, because it's not perfect. Well, guess what? Nothing will ever be perfect on this earth. And so that's why our founders were brilliant enough to say, we're trying to form a more perfect union. It's not perfect. There's no way to be perfect. We just want to make it a little better than it is. But that's a key point, how they use us and they use people to shoot for something that's not possible. But anyway.
I'll just finish my thought here. So critical theory, when the communists of the Frankfurt School fled Germany in 1933, they were relocated at Columbia Teachers College, among other places, by the good offices of John Dewey, who's been called the father of public education. John Dewey was the head of the National Education Association at the time, and they came in through a program administered by Edward R. Murrow, who later became CBS News anchor. And Edward R. Murrow, one of his best friends, was Lawrence Duggan. Lawrence Duggan was later identified as a Soviet agent. And so Edward R. Murrow brought these professors from Germany into the United States through an organization called the Institute for International Education. Dewey placed them in the Columbia Teachers College, and that's where critical theory metastasized and grew. And then later communists followed them. Derrick Bell created something called critical race theory, and there's dozens of other critical theories. And the whole idea is they seek every way, every fracture in our society, and they seek to enlarge that fracture. They seek to find every possible way to create division and hatred among all the various individuals and groups in our country, because ultimately their goal is for us to become so angry and so fed up that we all just go crazy and launch a civil war in which we all fight each other, and in the chaos, they take over.
I encourage people to get Who Was Karl Marx? It's a nice short read, but it really goes through chapter by chapter, lets you understand who he was, his influence today, who the people are that are pushing forward his agenda. And then, again, the whole last chapter is on what you can do to make a difference. And this is one of the things, educating other people, one at a time. I mean, every time you educate one other person, you've doubled your influence. And we need to realize that's substantial, just that alone. And a lot of times, people read one book or watch one video where they all of a sudden their mind gets it, like, oh, I didn't know about that. And then you have a warrior on your side from there on out. And so we need to worry about that, too. Now, Jim, what's the best way for people to get a hold of you if they need to, or to get this book? Tell us how to do that.
The best way to get the book is to go to crisisnow.net, crisisnow.net. That is my archive page for all my articles, and it has a short description of the book, picture of the book, and a link to click through to the Amazon page where you can find it, or you can go straight to the Amazon page and just look up Who Was Karl Marx. It pops right up because it's selling quite well.
Anyway, I hope you enjoyed those clips from the interview and realize how important that book is and the information in it. But thank you so much again. Consider going to agendaweekly.com if you're not a subscriber and becoming part of what we do. We appreciate you greatly. And until next week, God bless you.